no dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
You're listening to Latin Radical with Warwick Fry.
And today we're with Burke Stansbury. And Burke is the coordinator for CISBES, which is the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador. Bert, can you tell us a little bit about CISBES? How long has it been going?
The Committee in Solidarity with People of El Salvador, CISBES, was founded in 1980, in November of that year, right as the war was really kicking off in El Salvador, the civil war there. The violence and repression by the military and the government had increased. The U.S. Support for that government was also increasing. Ronald Reagan had just been elected in the U.S. and people here in this country realized that it was going to be a very important conflict, that the U.S. was basically taking a position of direct support for the military, and that there needed to be a force here countering that intervention and support for repression in El Salvador. And so CISBES was created at that time, not just to fight the intervention, but just as significantly to directly support those fighting for change, for the liberation movement in El Salvador, and in particular the FMLN, the Farabundo Martí National Liberation Front, which was the guerrilla force that was fighting to liberate El Salvador. And so CISBES took a strong position, not just to fight the intervention, but to support the FMLN.
Yeah, it's like you were working right under the noses, so to speak, of the same people who were supporting the military and the forces of repression in El Salvador. And I'm sure your work has been very effective over the years. But I understand that recently you've come under quite close scrutiny from even now.
Yeah, well, I think our work has been effective over the years, and in a way the scrutiny that you talk about of the FBI and of the U.S. Department of Justice is a testament to the effectiveness of that work. Back in the 80s, when the war continued to heat up, the FBI began a full-scale investigation into CISBES, believing that the organization was somehow directly supporting or financing the guerrillas, which were classified as a terrorist organization by the U.S. government at that time. That investigation found nothing, but they broke a lot of laws in the process of trying to nail CISBES. And then most recently, we received a letter from the U.S. Department of Justice citing something known as the Foreign Agents Registration Act, which questioned our relationship to the current FMLN, which is now a political party, a left political party in El Salvador, and suggesting that we needed to register with the government as a foreign agent of the FMLN because of our relationship. And so it showed that they continue to be very closely watching our organization, that they're concerned about what's happening in El Salvador in terms of the resistance to the U.S. policies, concerned about the possibility of the FMLN winning the elections that are coming up in 2009. And one of the ways they expressed this was through their attention to the work that CISBES is doing.
Yeah, and just exactly what is the nature of the work that CISBES does?
Well, we characterize it as a solidarity relationship, the relationship that we have with social movement organizations and the FMLN political party in El Salvador. We support them in joint campaigns by basically fighting to change U.S. foreign policy in this country through grassroots organizing, through mobilizing to affect the decisions and policies that are being formed by elected officials in this country. And in order to do that, we coordinate very closely with a lot of groups in El Salvador, including the FMLN. But again, the relationship is a relationship of solidarity. We we work together, we support each other, we share analysis, and we share a lot of the same critiques of the current neoliberal economic order and critiques of the nature of U.S. imperialism in Latin America. But we certainly don't fund political campaigns of the FMLN. Oh. We don't do a lot of the things that they were insinuating that we do. For that reason, we always responded to the Department of Justice and anyone else who questions that relationship, saying that it is a relationship of cooperation and solidarity and not any sort of agency as they would like to have it.
I would have thought, Burke, that now that the FMLN is a sort of a legally constituted political party, in fact it's probably a major party, do they need that kind of solidarity? I mean, what's happening now that you feel that you still have to go to El Salvador and as you have been and that you still come under scrutiny from the FBI?
Well, the FMLN is a very powerful political force in El Salvador today. They control a lot of the country at the municipal level in terms of having mayors that are elected in the biggest cities. They also have the most deputies in the Legislative Assembly, although they don't have a majority, but they have a lot of political power and they do have a lot of strength. Nevertheless, there continues to be a sort of nonstop attack from the right wing, targeting the FMLN and its activists and leaders and organizers, and we've seen that recently with the assassination of various FMLN activists throughout the country, something that we denounced. And you know, insofar as the U.S. government continues to finance the National Civilian Police and finance the government and justify the kind of heavy-handed, iron-fist laws that the Salvadoran government is pushing forward, we feel our government is complicit in a lot of those attacks. And the other way that we've been necessary to support and be in solidarity with that political force is in terms of political intervention on the part of the U.S. government. The State Department continues to meddle in El Salvador's affairs, and now that there's another election approaching and a good opportunity for the left to triumph and take power, there's a real good possibility that we're going to see the kind of direct intervention that happened in the last presidential elections in 2004. So, again, it's another role that we here in the U.S., in the belly of the beast, can play to counter that kind of intervention and open up the space for real democracy to play itself out.
Right. And you were saying that more recently, are there sort of like specific instances that you can, or specific cases of this kind of harassment of the FMLN that you've experienced?
Yeah. Most recently, there's been a number probably the most high profile one in the last 6 or 8 months was a mayor, an FMLN mayor, who was assassinated in the early part of this year from a small town, and he had been, you know, involved in a conflict with the former right-wing mayor, and it seems pretty clear that was a motive for him being assassinated. But of course, the attorney general, the government, the head of the National Civilian Police have always denied that and have done very little to actually investigate this case. But there's other ones too. There was an employee of a municipal government in the town of Ilapango who was killed just a few weeks ago. There was another woman who is the wife of an FMLN leader in another small town called San Pablo Tachicinco, who was shot just last week. And so there's been just a string of these sorts of assassinations of people who are directly connected to the FMLN And it appears to us, at least, that these sorts of killings are meant to intimidate activists and people from and scare them away from being involved in the political process during this very important time.
Right, and are they being scared away? Are people sort of dropping out of the FMLN or pulling back on their activities?
I don't think so. Not up until this point, at least not in large numbers. And and probably to the contrary, there's a lot of excitement in El Salvador right now about the FMLN's campaign, about its candidate Mauricio Funes, who's ahead in the polls in the election for presidency, and who's a really vibrant, young, charismatic figure who a lot of people are excited about. And so, so far, it hasn't intimidated people away. Although, on the other hand, we have heard about in some places people being wary of running for mayor in their small town on behalf of the FMLN because of these kind of killings. So, on a broad scale, and in terms of people, you know, signing up to join the FMLN campaign, I don't think it's had an impact. But I think it may, if it continues. Certainly, it will intimidate people and also dissuade people from running for office.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I can remember back in the 80s when they had the notorious death squads and death squad killings. It actually polarized the country to a great degree. And, I mean, some people were intimidated, but others took a more active role in fighting the repression.
Yeah. No, and that's true today as well. I mean, they have a motto in El Salvador: more repression, more struggle. And so, the you know, as long as the right wing and the government continue to crack down, people will continue to organize and even do so in greater numbers to counter those crackdowns and that type of repression.
Mm. Well, thanks very much for talking with us, Burke, and I'm sure you'll be back to keep us informed. Are you planning to go to El Salvador again soon, or
possibly soon, and definitely for the election?
Yeah,
come January and March of 2009. So we hope, and definitely for your listeners to check out our webpage, CISPES.org, CISPES.org. There's a lot more information about all of this. There's an action alert that they can respond to. They can take what we call the pledge of the People's Pledge for Free and Fair Elections to sort of pledge to take action should the U.S. government try to intervene again, this time in the political process. So all of those things would be a great support for us, because we're trying to mobilize as many people possible to be part of this process.
Yeah, well, I'm sure many of our listeners will be interested. Thank you very much for talking to Community Radio, Bert.
Thank you.